In the name of Jesus Christ, this morning the word of God given to us, Zechariah. In Korean, we call Zechariah. Zechariah. We are near the end of the Old Testament. Okay. Zechariah is the second last book of the Old Testament, just before last book, Malachi. Zechariah. Let us read together Zechariah chapter 1, whole verses, verse 1 to 21, and key verses 8:3 and 9:9. Okay, let me start. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. Therefore, tell the people, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Return to me, declares the Lord Almighty, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. Where are your forefathers now, and the prophets? Do they live forever? On the 24th day of the 11th month, the month of Shebat, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. I asked, what are these, my lords? The angel who was talking with me answered, I will show you what they are. And they reported to the angel of the Lord, who was standing among the myrtle trees. We have gone throughout the earth and found the whole world at rest and in peace. So the Lord spoke kind and comforting words to the angel who talks with me. But I am very angry with the nations that feel secure. I was only a little angry, but they added to the calamity. Proclaim further, this is what the Lord Almighty says, my towns will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and choose Jerusalem. I asked the angel who was speaking to me, "What are these?" He answered me, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem." Shall we read together? I asked, "What are these coming to you?" He answered, "These are the horns that scattered Judah so that no one could raise his head. But the craftsmen have come to terrify them and throw down these horns of the nations who lift ears of their horns against the land of Judah to scatter his people." Okay. Chapter 8, verse 3, chapter 9, verse 9. Let us read together. This is what the Lord says, "I will return to Zion and dwell in Jerusalem. Then Jerusalem will be called the city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord Almighty will be called the holy mountain. Rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion, shout, daughters of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you righteous and having salvation gentle, and rides on a donkey, on a horse, on a foal of a donkey." Donkey. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we know, today's book, Zechariah, is the second last book in the Old Testament. And among 12 minor prophets in the Old Testament, this book, Zechariah, is the longest book, having how many chapters? 14 chapters. In the Bible, there are at least 28 persons named Zechariah. At least, it means Zechariah is a good name. For example, in the northern kingdom of Israel, one king's name, Zechariah, Jeroboam, two sons' name, Zechariah. And in the New Testament, as we know, John the Baptist's father's name, also Zechariah. Then this name, Zechariah, means the Lord remembers. Good name. God remembers. This person in this book, Zechariah, was not only prophet, but also priest. Prophets could come out from any tribe if God chose him as prophet. But priest could come out from only tribe Levi, third son of Jacob. And this man, Zechariah, was born in Babylonia and was among those who returned to Judah in 538. Under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Joshua, after 70 years Babylonian captivity. This means Zechariah's prophetic ministry took place in the post-exile period, the time of Jewish restoration after Babylonian captivity. And among how many prophetic books from Isaiah to Malachi? 17 prophetic books from Isaiah to Malachi. Then only Jeremiah wrote two books, Jeremiah and Lamentation. Except Lamentation, all books named after the author. So the old book's name, also person's name, prophet's name. Then among 16 prophets from Isaiah to Malachi, only these last three prophets, Haggai, we studied Haggai last Sunday, Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi, these three prophets, ministers, their prophetic ministry for the Jews who returned to their home place, Judah, Jerusalem, after Babylonian captivity. Especially this person, Zechariah, was a contemporary of Haggai. Haggai. We remember we studied Haggai last Sunday. For example, let me show Ezra 5:1 says, now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, or descendants of Edo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel. Also, same book, Ezra 6:14 says, so the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, the descendants of Edo. So we can know easily Haggai and Zechariah lived same time. For some time they worked together, but Zechariah continued his ministry a little longer than Haggai. As we see, you know, first verse of first chapter of Haggai and first verse of first chapter of Zechariah almost the same. For example, Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 begins, in the second year of Darius. Who is Darius? The king of Persia. Haggai chapter 1, verse 1 begins, in the second year of Darius, the word of God came to the prophet Haggai. And this book, Zechariah, also chapter 1, verse 1, almost the same. In the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Darius. It means the time of book Haggai and Zechariah, same. What year? In the second year of Darius, B.C.? 520. So it means also Haggai was written in the year of 520 BC. Also this book, Zechariah, was written same year. But difference is Haggai was written within 1 year, 520. But this book, Zechariah, started to be written in 520 and then continued a little longer. Shall you see? For example, chapter 7, verse 1. You can see, same book, Zechariah. Chapter 1, verse 1 started in the second year of Darius. The word of God came to Zechariah. And 7:1, shall we read together? 7:1. In the first year, it means 2 years later, in the fourth year of King Darius, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the first day of the ninth month, the month of Kislev. Also, another important thing about Zechariah is who, according to the records of Old Testament, in the Old Testament, who is the first martyr? Who is the one who was killed because of his faith? Who is the first person killed because of his faith, according to the records of the Old Testament? Abel. In the Bible, Abel, in church history, according to the records, Abel is the first martyr. 아벨이 처음 순교자입니다. 교회 역사에 있어서. Amen. Then, if Abel is the first martyr in church history, in Bible history, in Old Testament, this person, Zechariah, is worth last martyr, last martyr. Shall we see Matthew? Matthew chapter 23, verse 35. Matthew, first book of New Testament, Matthew. 고리온 마태복음, Matthew 23, 35. Shall we read together? Matthew 23, verse 35. Ready, go. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, the very this person, Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered, you killed between the temple and the altar. Okay. We started Haggai last Sunday. The key word of Haggai is the reconstruction of the temple. The key message of the book Haggai is rebuild the temple. Then the key word of this book, Zechariah, is not only to rebuild the temple, but also prepare the coming Messiah. It means they should not only rebuild the temple, visible temple. They are building a building, but also they should build their life, their future. Why? Because for one day, the Messiah's glory covers that temple, inhabits the temple. Future, because future blessing is contingent upon the present obedience. So with that as their motivation, they can enter into the temple project with wholehearted zeal. The Messiah is coming. So the main theme, main topic of this book is Messiah, Christ. Messiah in Hebrew, Christ in Greek, same word. Messiah is coming. That's why you should prepare to receive coming Messiah. Amen? Are you ready? Are you ready to receive coming Messiah? Amen. Okay, let me introduce briefly the survey of this book. This book, Zechariah, consists of 14 chapters, I said already, among 12 minor prophets. This book is the longest book with 14 chapters. Then Zechariah uses a series of eight visions and four messages and two burdens. Let me repeat once again. Eight visions and four messages and two burdens. The first eight chapters were written to encourage the remnants while they were building the temple. And then the second six chapters, the last six chapters were written after the completion of the temple to anticipate the coming Messiah. So in this book, Zechariah moves from Gentile domination to Messianic rule, from persecution to peace, from uncleanness, from unholiness to holiness, cleanness. So this book can be divided into three parts. Okay, first part is from chapter 1 to chapter 6. In this first part, from chapter what to chapter 1? from chapter 1 to chapter 6. In this first part, we can see 8 visions. Zechariah received 8 visions from God directly. Let me introduce briefly just the keywords. First vision is the horsemen among the myrtle trees. We read the word myrtle trees in chapter 1. Did you remember? Myrtle trees. First vision is the horsemen among the myrtle trees. It means God will rebuild Zion and his people. And second vision is the four horns. Do you know horns? The four horns and the craftsmen. This means Israel's oppressors will be judged. Third vision is the man with the measuring line. It means God will protect and glorify Jerusalem one day. Fourth vision is the cleansing of Joshua. Joshua is also one of the leaders with Zerubbabel. Cleansing of Joshua, the high priest. It means Israel will be cleansed and restored. Fifth vision is golden lampstand. Golden lampstand. It means God is empowering his servant, two servants, Zerubbabel and Joshua. Sixth vision is flying scroll. Scroll, durumari, in Korean, durumari, flying scroll. It means individual sin will be punished. Individual sin will be judged. And seventh vision is the woman in the basket. It means national sin will be removed. And finally, eighth vision is the four chariots. It means God's judgments will fall upon all nations from heaven. This is the key message of the first part. And second part is from chapter 7 and 8, two chapters. In second part, chapter 7 and 8, we can see 8 visions. In first part, 8 visions. In second part, 4 messages. God gives Zechariah a series of 4 messages. First message is rebuke of empty ritualism. Second message is reminder of past disobedience. Third message is restoration and consolation of Israel. And finally, fourth message is recovery of joy in the kingdom of God. And then last part, third part is from chapters 9 to 14. In third part, what? Two burdens. In first part, 8 visions. In second part, 4 messages. In third part, last part, two burdens. First burden is from chapter 9, 10, 11. And second burden is from chapters 12, 13, 14. Then first burden concerns the first advance of the Messiah. Means first coming of the Messiah, first coming of Christ and the rejection of Israel's coming Christ. Because in his first coming, almost everybody did not recognize him, did not receive him, according to John chapter 1. Is that true? Then second burden concerns the second advance of Messiah and his acceptance. For example, in chapter 12, all nations will attack Jerusalem, but Messiah will come and deliver his people. This is the key message of chapter 12. Then they will be cleansed. They will be cleansed of impurity and falsehood. This is the key message of chapter 13. And then finally, key message of last chapter 14, is the Messiah. Messiah will come from heaven in his power to judge all nations and to reign in Jerusalem over the whole earth. This is the final message of final chapter 14. So this book, Zechariah, abounds with messianic passages. We can see the prophets of messianic comes from this book. Let me show you just a few of them. Okay, Zechariah 9:9. Shall we read together? Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O those of Zion. Shout, those of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. We remember this picture. This is about whom? Jesus Christ. Okay. Keeping this page, Zechariah, remembering this passage, Zechariah 9:9, and let us go to Matthew 21, verse 4-5. Zechariah 9:9 is prophecy, and Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and 5 is the fulfillment of this prophecy, written in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Matthew chapter 21, verse 4 and 5. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Through the prophet whom? Through the prophet Zechariah. Verse 5. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Also, as you know, our Messiah Jesus Christ was rejected and sold for how much? 30 shekels of silver. Jesus was sold for 30 shekels of silver, not gold. You know, that price was the price of a slave at that time. Also, that was prophesied in Zechariah chapter 11. He would be sold. He will be sold for the 30 shekels of silver. Okay. Zechariah, one more verse. Zechariah, shall we see? Zechariah 13:7. Zechariah 13:7. Okay. Shall we read together? Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is close to me, declares the Lord Almighty. Strike the shepherds, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. Yes, our Lord Messiah Christ came as a good shepherd. He came as a good shepherd, but these good shepherds would be stricken, beaten, and abandoned. And this prophecy was fulfilled. Matthew, shall we go to Matthew? Matthew 26, verse 31. Matthew 26, verse 31. Let me read the first part. Please be patient. First part. Then Jesus told them, this very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written where? It is written in the book Zechariah. Okay, next part, shall we read together? It is written, I will strike the shepherds, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Okay. So the key message of this book, Zechariah, is prepare for the coming Messiah. In the study of Haggai last Sunday, we saw temple. The temple is the type, shadow of Jesus Christ. It means Jesus Christ is the reality of the temple. Is that true? Jesus is the head of this church. Church is called the body of Christ. Then if Jesus is the temple, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If Jesus is the temple, we are a temple. So, key word of Haggai is Jesus is the temple. And then the message, key words of this book, next book, Zechariah, is those who belong to Jesus Christ are a temple. Jesus, shall we say it together? Jesus Christ is the temple. I am a temple. Not the temple, but a temple, one temple. It means we are building the visible temple, but we are building our future. We are building our life. That's why Bible says our life, your life, our life is a building. Our life is like a building. Your life is building, my life is building, our life is building. Are you building your life well? That's why Jesus, in his conclusion of his most beautiful sermon, his conclusion is, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. It did not fall down because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. It fell with a great crash. Our life is a temple, means our life is a building. Bible says in 1 John 3:16, don't you know that? This is common sense. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that the Spirit of God lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. Because you are that temple. Also repeated in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, 20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God. Therefore, honor God with your body. Please remember, we are all temple, living temple, alive temple, and walking temple, moving temple. What is the temple? What is the essence of the temple? Temple is the place where God appears. Temple is the place where there is a fellowship, relationship with God. Temple is the place where offering, sacrifice, commitments, devotion, dedication must be given and done. Temple is the place where worship is done. Temple is the place where prayer for all nations must be given and done. Temple is the place through which the blessing of God runs. So temple is the channel of God's blessing from heaven to this earth. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living, shall we say it together, living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. This is holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not follow, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What is? I said already, if your body is a temple, my body is a temple. Temple is the place where sacrifice, offering, commitments, dedication, devotion must be given, done. What is the living sacrifice? What is the living sacrifice? What is the true dedication? Let me say just three steps. Living sacrifice and true dedication as a temple involves at least three steps. Are you a temple? Are you a temple? Small temple, big temple, sin temple, temple. Anyway, we are temple. As a temple, number one, we must give Jesus Christ, our King, our body. Before we trusted in Jesus Christ, before we believed in Jesus Christ, we used our body for sinful pleasures, desires, purposes. But now that we belong to Him, we want to use our body for His glory, for His kingdom. Because the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, indwells in us, within us, among us. So it is our privilege to glorify Jesus Christ in our body. Magnify Jesus Christ in our body. Just as Jesus Christ had to take himself a body in order to accomplish God's will through his body on earth, we must yield our body to Jesus Christ that he might continue his ministry through our body on this earth. You know, in the Bible, there are two living sacrifices. They can help us to understand what this living sacrifice means. First living sacrifice example is Isaac in Genesis chapter 22. Isaac, you are living with living sacrifices, Isaac. And second is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 22, Isaac willingly put his body on the altar. He would have died in obedience to God's will. But God sent, God prepared, God provided a ram for Isaac's place. to take Isaac's place. But Isaac already died just the same. Isaac died to himself. Isaac died to self. And he willingly yield his body to the obedience of God. And then when Isaac got off from that altar, he became living sacrifice to the glory of God. And also, secondly, our Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect illustration of living sacrifice. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ actually, truly, really died on the cross as a sacrifice in the perfect obedience to his Father's will. And then he rose again. He was resurrected from the dead on the third day. And today, now and here, today, Jesus Christ is in heaven as living sacrifice. And then he is our high priest, our advocate before the throne of Father God. So worship is a Christian's lifestyle. Worship must be done not only Sunday this morning, but worship is Christian's lifestyle. Every day, each day, from day to day, every day, each day, daily day, must be worship, acceptable by God, to God. It is living sacrifice. Secondly, we must give our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, our mind. Do you have a mind? Our minds. This world wants to control our mind. But our God wants to transform our mind. This world wants to change our minds as it exerts pressure from without. But the Holy Spirit changes our minds by releasing power from within. Please check yourself, your mind, your thinking, your idea. If this world controls your thinking, my thinking, our minds, we are conformers. But if God controls our thinking, our minds, we are transformers. God transforms our mind and controls our minds. And God is changing our minds by using his words as we spend our time with the Lord, with the words of God. It means as we spend our time in meditating his words, memorizing his words, taking it a part of our inner man, God will gradually make our mind more and more spiritual. And finally, third step, also we must give Jesus Christ, our King, our will. As we know, our mind controls our body, but our will controls our mind. Many people think that they can control their will by willpower, but usually they fail. We can know that through our experience. It is only when we yield our will to God that his power can take over and give us willpower that we need to be victorious and successful Christian. We must submit our will to God. How? Through disciplined prayer. Disciplined prayer. As we spend our time in prayer, God controls our minds. And then as we spend our time in prayer, we can pray with the Lord, to the Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. You know, the one message, conclusion message of this book is not by my power, nor by my strength, nor by my might, but my Spirit, but by the Holy Spirit. Shall you see? Okay, this is the last showing to you. Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. Zechariah 4:6. Also, this verse is one of the most famous, familiar verses to Christians. Zechariah 4:6. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zechariah." Shall we read together? "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." My spirit means Holy Spirit. The word spirit is written with a capital, big letter, spirit, Holy Spirit. In Korean, 내 능력으로도 아니요, 내 힘으로도 아니요, 오직 성령으로 말미암느니라. Shall we read together this verse? So he said to me, "This is the words of the Lord to Zechariah." Together, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." Yes, we must pray about everything and let God have His way, His wills in everything. Amen. We must pray about everything, anything, but let God have His ways in everything, anything, according to His perfect design and purpose. May God bless all of us so that we may live as a living sacrifice every day, any day, acceptable by God, to God, in God. Shall we pray together? Even though time is short, let us take individual time and let us pray like this. Oh God, help me, empower me, enable me to give my Lord Jesus Christ, my King Jesus Christ, my body, my mind, my will. So my conclusion is, not my will, but your will be done. Shall we pray together? Father God, our conclusion, our conclusive confession is, not by my power, nor by my strength, nor by my wisdom, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, by the touch of the Holy Spirit. Father, honestly, humbly speaking before you, we are nothing. You are all to us. Oh Lord God, thank you for your goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness in saving us, which can be found only in Jesus Christ. Father, we believe salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name given to us under heaven by which we must be. We can be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, we know in church history, when he came first time, most of them did not recognize you. Most of them did not receive you. This same Jesus Christ is coming soon. Please help us to be ready, to be prepared very, very well to receive him with joy, happiness, without repentance, O Lord God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. 아멘.